That's what the French say without any further ado.
Adieu. So we're learning the Gemara, it's Divrei Agoda, so therefore we're trying to move along a little bit. We saw, it's a very important Gemara at the end of the day, but we saw different tefillos that the Amoraim used to daven after their tefillah. It's just worthwhile pointing out, I mean, we mentioned this briefly yesterday, well, the Gemara is not telling us this just for of historical interest. You know, he used to say this and he used to say that, and the Gemara is teaching us clearly for the halachic ramifications, which is if the Amoraim davened A or B or C, then clearly that has relevance to us as well, that we can also relate to this tefillah. That's number one. Number two, it's also very important to point out, and this this connects very, very strongly with a yesoid that we mentioned many, many, many times in a tefillah vad. Every single Amoira has their own tefillah. Remember the yesoid we mentioned many, many times, Bacharabi or Bakashti, with the sword and the bow. You have the sword, which is your fixed tefillah, and then your bow. A bow is only as potent in as much as you put energy into it. A sword is just a dangerous implement, period. Whereas a bow is a weak, tame, limp thing. If you pull it hard and you know how to aim it accurately, it could be lethal. So too, that's the second aspect of tefillah, the second type of tefillah, which is my own personal tefillah. So besides for the tefillah kavua that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah fashioned for us, but a crucial, but a very, very important part also is that's the Bacharabi. But the Bakashti is my bow, my personal input. And if you remember, we mentioned on many occasions that to a certain extent, the connection to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, which is the whole purpose of tefillah, as we discussed at great length many times, on occasion that is actually felt more with one's own personal tefillahs than it is with the tefillahs of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they formed words, which, as we always said, is like a code. It's a magic code. It opens up the Shaarei Shamayim, and of course, it's important to understand every single word. But to a certain degree, when I put my own energy and coin my own personalized tefillah, and I say what I want to say, and I say it the way I want to say it, then that makes tefillah an even more real experience, where I'm expressing my own personal, heartfelt feeling and bakashas to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And that's what really is evident in this Gemara. Why is every single Amoira saying a different tefillah after davening? And the answer is because tefillah is avoida shebelev, and everyone's lev is different. And if everyone's lev, excuse me, if everyone's lev is different, then by definition, everyone's avoida shebelev is different, and therefore tefillah has to be a very, very personal experience. So let's go. We're up to the wide lines, or the medium wide lines, on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, on the fifth line. And of course, everybody will recognize this immediately because we say this indeed every single day. Mar Brei Deravina, right there in the middle of the fifth line. Mar Brei Deravina, Ki Hava Masayim Saluse, when he finished his davening, Omar Hochi, he said as follows. Eloikai Netzoir L'shoini Meira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Netzoir, please protect L'shoini, my Loshoin, my tongue. Meira, from any evil. From any evil meaning, from any bad words. Udvarim Betelim, Udvarim Wasurim. Usfosai, and protect my lips. Midaber Mirma, from saying any Mirma. Mirma is Sheker. This, of course, is the tefillah that we say at the end of davening. Now, this has become part of our davening, although, strictly speaking, one does not have to say it. It's not part of the Shemoneh Esra as such. Now, when we had our tefillah vad, you remember the end, we went through the Shemoneh Esra, and on the final occasion, we discussed this, and we said that this, as it were, brings the whole tefillah to a full circle. Because before you begin davening, what is the opening line? You say, Hashem sfasai tiftach ufi yagid tilosecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open my lips and my mouth. We bring this now to a full circle when once again we talk about the lips and the mouth. And we say, I've just used my koyach of the peh, of the mouth, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why I need to be mispalo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezakemi, that my mouth and my lips should not be used for the wrong reasons. As the Mefarshim explain, as it were, in the simplest fashion, if one's mouth becomes polluted, as it were, then all the tefillos that come out of it are necessarily polluted as well. Which, by the way, in one of the most difficult to understand activities, tefillos of the year, Kol Nidre has to be right up there. The drama, as it were, of Yom Kippur begins with Kol Nidre. Why does it begin with Kol Nidre? Why is that the grand opening to Yom Kippur? And some explain, and of course the Erev Rosh Hashanah also, we do Hataras Nadarim. Why is Kol Nidre and Hataras Nadarim play such an epic role in the Avodah of Yom Ha'Nirayim? And some explain, even though it has deep mystical meaning, but on the simplest level is because what are we chiefly involved with on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Davening. That's the main avodah of the yom. And if that's the case, we want to have an absolutely pure mouth, not a polluted one. So therefore, we have to be mati all the nadarim and the shvuos, etc., etc., so that our mouth is, as it were, cleansed. And now we're davening with a spiritually cleansed mouth. So too over here as well. Each tefillah, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that our mouth does not become spiritually polluted. And that's why we're saying, because if my mouth speaks sheker or evil, then how can I possibly expect the tefillah that emerges from that same mouth to have any koyach? In fact, the Gemara says an incredible thing. The Gemara says, one of the Tanoim said, that had it been my way, I would have created a person with two mouths. One for Divrei Kodesh and one for Divrei Chol. That's what the Gemara says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barayv Chachmosoi apparently decided otherwise. But that's what one of the, I think, Tanoim Wamaroim said, I would have created a man with two separate mouths. One specifically reserved for Chol and one for Kodesh. But again, that brings out this point, because that mouth that is issuing Divrei Kodesh, we have to ensure that indeed it remains Kodesh. Okay, back into the Gemara. So again, Elokai Netzoi L'Shoini Meiro Sifsoi Sai Midaber Mirmo V'lim Kalalai, and to those who curse me, Nafshi Sidoim, my nefesh should be silent, and I shouldn't have the temptation or the urge to respond, even though there are those who might make fun of me, attack me, but I should be able to remain silent. Sidoim means to be silent, like Vayidoim Arim. V'nafshi ka'ofor la'koil tia, and my nefesh, my spirit should be like earth to everybody. I shouldn't be a balgaiva, is the simplest translation. Should be modest. Psach libi b'sayir asecha, most moving and beautiful tefillah. We beg the Ribbono shel Olam to open my heart to your Torah. U'b'mitzvay secha tirdof nafshi, and my nefesh should want to pursue mitzvahs. Every person, we mentioned this early on in the Gemara, every person deep down, of course, wants to learn Torah and wants to be mekayim mitzvahs. We're asking the Ribbono shel Olam that we should indeed feel that. We shouldn't just know it, we should in fact feel that. V'satzileini, and save me mi pegaro, from any evil occurrence. Mi yetzer hara, obviously, we need special siyata d'shmaya. for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ensure that we do not get ensnared by the trap of the Yetzer Hara. Umei Isha Ra, from an evil woman, an evil wife. A wife, the Torah describes as an Ezer Kenegdoi. An Ezer Kenegdoi. An Ezer Kenegdoi is almost an oxymoron. An Ezer means a help, and Kenegdoi means against him. Is she a help or is she against him? And some of the Mefarshim explain she could be one or the other. If you are Zeicha, then she will be an Ezer. And if you're not Zeicha, then she could be Kenegdoi. She could be a person's most difficult Nisayin. And that's what we're davening her for over here. Me'isha Roch, Chas V'Shalom, save me from an evil wife. Umikol Rois, Hamisrag Shois, Lovoi Ba'olam, and from all evil that occurs that can come in the world. V'chol HaChoshvim Olai Ro'o. So I'm not sure why that line in particular does not make its way into our tefillah of the Lekai Netzor at the end of Shemana Esra, but the rest does. V'chol HaChoshvim Olai Ro'o, and anybody who is planning to do bad against me, Mehera Hofer Atzosom, quickly annul their plans. Atzosom doesn't just mean advice, it means their plans. The Kalkel Machshavosom, and ruin their Machshavos. Make sure that those who are plotting bad against me have no Hatzlocha whatsoever. And then we finish, or this is the way that again Mar Breda Ravina finished. Yiru L'Rotzoin Imreifi. The words of my mouth should be L'Rotzoin. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be pleased with them. V'Hegyoin Libi L'Fonecho. And the thoughts in my heart in front of you, Hashem, Suri V'Goyali, my rock and my savior. That was the beautiful tefillah, and as we all know, that pretty much makes its way into our Shemona Esra, every single Shemona Esra without fail. Says the Gemara, Vaita. Until now, we've been discussing all the various tefillos that the Amoraim said after their own tefillah, and I think it really, again, matches that Bacharabi or Bakashti. They had the Shemona Esra, which was the sword, and then afterwards had their own private tefillah, the Kashti. So that really is a model and a lesson for the way that we're supposed to be davening as well. Although, of course, we do know that one can add one's own personal bakashas, not only at the end of Shemona Esra, but during Shemona Esra as well, in any language. If they're general, then in Shema Koileinu. If they're specific, then in the particular bracha that they pertain to. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes, now moving on to a slightly different inyan, but it's similar. Ki hava Yosef b'ta'anisa, literally mean translated, when he used to sit and fast. That means on occasion he would fast, maybe as a Tanis Yochid, he was makabel on himself to fast. And when he finished, when he fasted, he used to say the following. Not when he finished, sorry. As he was fasting and used to daven, he used to say the following. Bosar de Matzli, when he finished davening, but he's still fasting, Omar Hochi, he said the following. So we've moved away from the original subject, which was the general tefillos the Amoraim said after their day-to-day davening. And we're now talking about what did Rav Shesha say after his davening on a fast. And he said as follows. Riboin ho'elomim, master of the world. Golui lefonecho, it is revealed to you, you know very well, Bizman Shabes Amigdosh Kayom, when the Beis Amigdosh was around, standing, Odom Chayte, a person would sin, Umakriv Karban, and he would sacrifice a Karban, that would be an atonement for his sin. Ve'ein Makrivin Mimenu, Elochelboi V'domoi. which part would actually go on the Mizbeach, the chelboy, which means the chelev, the fat, the domoy, and the blood, which gets sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And that way, umischaper loy. And that way, he would be zoicha to a kapara, he would get an atonement. That was all in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when we had korbanos, but now we don't. V'achshav, and now, said Rav Sheshes in his tefillah, Yoshavti betainis. I have sat and fasted this entire day, and to an extent, that's also a type of korban. V'nismait chelbi v'domi. My own fat and my own blood has also been reduced because I haven't eaten today. So to a certain extent, there is a parallel between what I've done today by fasting and when you bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's not exactly the same. But just like when you bring a korban, you are offering, as it were, the chelev and the dam to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to over here as well, by not eating, I've also reduced my chelev and my dam. Therefore, yirot say milfanecho, may it be your will in front of you, shehi chelbi v'domi shenismait, the chelev and the dam which were nismait, which were reduced today by not fasting, that should be considered, he asked in his tefillah, ki'ilu hikravtiv lefonecho al gabe hamizbeach. That should indeed be considered in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if I was makriv the chelev and the dam. I wasn't actually makriv chelev and dam, but to an extent I was, because I also offered up, as it were, my chelev and my dam. It should be considered as if I brought some carbon on the Mizbeach, the Tiritzeini, again, this word of Rotzai, it should find an appeasement to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says the Gemara, again, moving off slightly further, but not completely different subject. Rabbi Yochanan, ki have a Messiah Sifra de Eoiv. When he used to learn the Sefer of Eoiv, and he used to make a Siyam, he used to finish it, he used to say the following tefillah, or at least the following announcement. Just before you see the next line of the Gemara, have a look at Rashi. Rashi's on the top of the page, on the last of the wide lines in the middle. Ki have a Messiah, Sifra d'Iyoiv. Al Shem, She'iyoiv, Nifter, B'Shem Toiv. That's Rashi's introduction. Iyoiv passed away, B'Shem Toiv, with a good name, with a good reputation. We know the tragic story of Iyoiv. Iyoiv lost everything. As well as that, he had terrible physical nisyonis and yisurim. And his friends, and that's most of the sefer, the discussion that he had between him and his friends, tried to convince him that apparently you're not such a tzaddik. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's done. He's taken everything away from you. And Iyoiv refused to believe that, because Iyoiv knew that he was a tzaddik. There is a discussion, by the way, in the Gemara who Iyoiv is. One of the opinions is that Iyoiv is in fact Moshe Rabbeinu. But be it as it may, Iyoiv refused to accept the notion that his friends were suggesting that he wasn't such a tzaddik after all. He said, it's not true, I know I am.
How does a person say, I'm a tzaddik?
Because nobody knows one's spiritual standing better than the person himself. Meaning, it could well be that he nevertheless recognized that there were shortcomings. But to say that he was a Rasha deserving of these Yisurim, he refused to accept. It cannot be that I've got a punishment, because he knew he didn't do anything that would warrant this punishment. And I say,
it's almost reminiscent of a verse saying, Anava is my strongest Mida.
That's where my steering wheel will be. Al kol panim, although the truth of the matter is, it's actually not. It's in Furush Gemara. The Gemara said that one of the Amoraim said, Misha Botla, Rebbe, Botla Anova, Omer Rabbi Yosef, Kagoyin Anor. Rabbi Yosef says, no, I'm still here and I'm an Onov. An Onov does not mean denying what one's talents and what one's mitzvahs are. But either way, let's get back to our subject. So Eiv not only is a very difficult sefer, but it's also a very difficult story to understand. Because it's not clear when you get to the end of the sefer how the story comes to a conclusion. It is clear that Eiv had these terrible yisurim. His friends tried convincing him he's a rasha, he refused to accept. And then there's a whole discussion between him and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, where he showed him the whole world, and the says, and he basically lived happily ever after and passed away a happy person. Not entirely clear, we've discussed it in the Parashah on one occasion, but either way, what it is clear, and that's what Rashi says, is that he was Nifta B'Shem Tov. He was Nifta B'Shem Tov with a good reputation. So based on that, that is why Rabbi Yochanan said the following when he finished learning Eiv. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ki ha Messiah safra de Eiv. When Rabbi Yochanan finished learning the sefer of Eiv, Omar he said Hochi as follows: Saif Adam Lamus. The humbling reality that the end of each person is death. V'soif behema l'shchita, and so too the end of every animal is to be slaughtered. V'hakoil l'misa heim oimdim, and everybody is oimed, one is going in one direction and one direction only, and that's towards death. Ashrei mi shegodel b'teira, so fortunate is the one who in his relatively short life, 120 years, Ba'olam Hazeh, he grew in Torah, Va'amoi ba'Torah, and he toiled in Torah, Va'oisa nachas ruach li'yotzrei, and he brought about a nachas. I do not know any English translation for the word nachas, happiness or content, or whatever you want to translate it, but nachas is nachas. You can bring a nachas ruach to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Godel b'shem toiv, this is the reference to Eiv. Again, Ashrei, praiseworthy, fortunate is the one who grew with a good reputation. The nifter b'shem toiv min olam, and left the world also b'shem toiv with a good reputation. The olav omar shleime. And it was about him, a person like that, who dies with a good reputation. It was about him that Shlomo HaMelech said the following pasuk in Koheles, which was, Toiv Shem, Mishemen Toiv. Sounds like a play on words, which is like most of Koheles, it's a bit cryptic. Toiv Shem, a good name, is better than Mishemen Toiv, good oil. And better is the day of death than the day of birth. So either way, that's what Rabbi Yochanan used to say following learning the Sefer of Eiv. Zolimoravaita Margala Bapume de Rabbi Meir. What does that mean? Margala Bapume. Look at Rashi at the top, the end of the wide lines. Margala is from the word rogil. Margala, rogil, regular. Margala Bapume, dovo ze rogil befiv. The following statement was common in his mouth, meaning this is something that he used to say often. Margala Bapume, this was a frequent thing that emerged from his mouth. And what was that? Says the Gemara, Maragale Bapume de Rabbi Meir. A common statement that emerged from the mouth of Rabbi Meir was as follows: Gemair b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. Lo das es darki. A person should learn, study with all his heart, with all his nefesh, in order to know my derech, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's derech, v'lishkoid al dalsoi, and to knock on my doors, toirasi netzoir, guard my Torah, toirasi belibcho, I'm sorry, v'lishkoid al dalsoi toirasi, and to knock on the doors of my Torah, Netzair Teirasi Belibcha. God, asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu of us, God, my Torah in your heart, V'neged Einecho, right there opposite your eyes, Tiye Yirasi. Person should have Yiras Hashem. What does it mean in front of his eyes? Right there, as we say, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Somit. Person should have right in front of him, as it were, Kaviyochel, the not the image, but the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in front of him. Shmoir picha mikol chet. Guard your mouth from all sin. V'taher v'kadesh atzmacha. And purify and sanctify yourself mikol ashma v'ovein. From all iniquity and sin. And if you do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will be with you in every place. Margala bepumayu derabonon deyavne. Now, another common statement. This was not on the heart of Rameya. This was offered by the Rabbonon in Yavne. And they said as follows. Ami Bray. V'chavre Bray. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Bray or Beria is a creation. So Rashi says, who is the Ani? Who is he referring to? Who's me and who's them? So Rashi says, if you look at the beginning of the narrow lines, Ani ha'isik b'toira, I who involve myself in toira, Beria Ani, I'm a creation. V'chein chaveirai, so to my associates who are ama oretz, they're also a beriahu. There's two types of creations. One who is oisek b'toira, and one who isn't. Unbelievable thing to say. Somebody who's not oisek b'toira is a different type of creation. So this is what he's comparing and contrasting. So look back into the Gemara again. And he's saying, ani beriah. V'chaveirai beria, v'chavri beria. Both I am a creation and so to my friend. The Am Haaretz is also a creation. But what's the difference, the enormous difference between me and him? Ani melachti bo'ir. My melacha is in the town. And yet, v'hu melachtoi basodeh. And yet his malacha is in the field. What he was saying was, even though I'm a creation and he's a creation, but look at the colossal difference between the two of us. Look what a better life I have than he has. As Rashi says, Ani melachti bo'ir kloima, what he meant to say was, noicha, more comfortable is melachti mi melachtoi. We're both creations, and we're both involved in malacha. He is involved in work. What type of work? Nothing to do with Torah. My malacha, said the Rabbonon in Yavne, is the work of Torah. Look at the difference between the two. They couldn't be more different. He's slogging away in the field. I don't have to go anywhere. I'm right here in the city. Ani mashkim. L'malachti, V'hu mashkim lemalachtoi. Yes, I get up early to do my work. He gets up early to do his. So as far as that's concerned, it sounds like we're exactly the same, but it's not true. Kashem shehu einoy misgadir b'malachti. In the same way as he's not trying to steal from me my work. He's not in the slightest bit interested in swapping shoes and taking his place in the Beis HaMedrash. Kach ani eini misgadir b'malachtoi. Neither am I in any way whatsoever trying to take his malacha. Says Rashi, misgadir, misgadil litfois. Umnosi, he's not trying to make himself big to grab my work. And to be perfectly honest, neither am I trying to take his work. I'm more than happy, feel the privilege to take my place in the Beis HaMedrash. I don't want to take his place in the field. V'shema toimar ani marbe v'hu mamit. Maybe you will say, yes, I'm doing a lot and he's doing a little. What does that mean? Says Rashi. V'shema toimar, and maybe you'll say that adin imoy. Maybe he's right. That he's not jealous of my work. Why? Because if he indeed would try and grab my umnas, meaning he would try and learn all day in the Beis HaMedrash, maybe indeed his heart would not be opened to learn so much Torah like I do. And you'd only learn a little bit and wouldn't get much sachar. So therefore, who am I to criticize him for not wanting to learn in the Beis HaMedrash? Maybe he's right. Because if he would learn in the Beis HaMedrash, perhaps he's not very good at learning Torah and he wouldn't be able to learn much, wouldn't get much sachar. So therefore, maybe he's quite right for not wanting to come into the Beis HaMedrash because he's not going to get much sachar. Says the Gemara, that's not true. As the Gemara says in conclusion, Shoninu, we have learned Rechod Hamarbe, Rechod Hamamit, Obelvad, Sheyechav En Liboy Lashomayim. Says Rashi, Shoninu, we have learned Sheyesh Loi Sachar Lamamit, Kemoi Lamarbe. That the reward for the Mamit, for the one who does little, is as much as it is for the one who does a lot, as long as Yumachav En Liboy Lashomayim. Rashi says that this is with regard to the korbanos at the end of Menachos. There in Menachos, it's talking about different types of korbanos that a poor person brings, a rich person brings, and the Gemara concludes and says, whatever you bring to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, whether a little or a lot, as long as you're mechaven liboy l'shem shamayim. Therefore, this person working in the field, he has no excuse not to come to the Beis HaMedrash. What's he going to say? I don't really have the capacity to learn so much. I won't get much schar anyway. It's not true. Whether you do a little or a lot, as long as you're mechaven Hashem Shamayim, you'll get the same amount of schar. And yet he still doesn't want to come into the Beis HaMedrash. That's what the Rabbonon and Yavne were comparing. Look at the difference, therefore, between me and him. In the same way as I'm not in the least bit inclined to take his job, tragically, however, he is not interested in joining the Beis HaMedrash. And even though if he would come to the Beis HaMedrash and even perhaps only learn a little, he would still get a lot of schar. And yet he still doesn't want to do that. So Ashrei Mi, the one who is able to be Yeshev in the Beis HaMedrash, he is ultimately considered the most fortunate one in the world. Okay, well, I'll do it over here. And Bezos Hashem will keep on moving towards the bottom of the Amud tomorrow morning in Mitz Hashem.
Shukar. Have a good day.
Be well. Have a good day. Feel well, everybody.